We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The following is a Learfield presentation of the Southern Miss Sports Network.
Southern Mississippi has done what people said they couldn't do.
On the Southern Miss Sports Network from Learfield, live from walk-ons, welcome to Golden Eagle Hotline. Golden Eagle Hotline is brought to you by Walk-On Sports Bistro. Game day with a taste of Louisiana. Now, here's the voice of the Golden Eagles, John Cox.
And hi, everybody, and welcome in to another edition of the Golden Eagle Hotline here at Walk-Ons in Hattiesburg. Glad to have you with us, everybody, and going to do what we love to do every Thursday night, that sit around and talk a little Golden Eagle football with the head coach of the Golden Eagles, Coach Will Hall. Golden Eagles on the road this week before one final game, one final non-conference game before the Golden Eagles will open up Conference USA play. This week they'll travel over to Tuscaloosa to historic Bryant Denny Stadium, where they will take on the number one ranked Alabama Crimson Tide. So that's what's on tap. That's a 6:30 ball game on Saturday night over in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And I know a lot of you Golden Eagle fans are going to follow the Golden Eagles over there this weekend. So hope to see you there in Tuscaloosa this weekend in the Bryant Denny Stadium as the Golden Eagles take on number one Alabama. Love to have you join our conversation. If you're here in the restaurant with us, we've got Bo Morgan's got some of our question forms. That's Bo right there. Bo, stand up so everybody can see you. Bo is going to be in charge of there he is. That's Bo. So you want to ask a question, just let Bo know. He'll bring you one of our question forms. Also, you can send them in via email and Twitter. Francis is manning that for us tonight. So if you want to send them in either email or Twitter tonight, you can do that as well. But we'd love to hear from you now as we talk Golden Eagle football with the head coach of the Golden Eagles, Coach Will Hall. And, Will, I'm going to give you a question. I thought this was a good one to start it off with. And so I'm going to ask this one. This is from Vance Fortenberry. In your previous head coaching jobs that you had, have you inherited a rebuilding situation a lot like you have at Southern Miss?
Oh, yeah, actually, Vance, you know, we have. It was really more of a build it for the first time. You know, when we got to West Al, they were coming off a 1-9 season, and we were able to win four in our first year. The next year, we went to the playoffs and won the first playoff game in school history, ended up winning the first outright conference title in school history, and did a lot of things that had never been done there. And then when we got to West Georgia, they only won 23 games in the previous 6 years combined when we got there. And we were able to get that turned around and go to two semifinal appearances. So, like I said, like I've told everybody since we got here, we know how to build programs. This is our third time we've had to do it. And we feel really good about where we're headed. You know, we're not winning as quickly as we would like to here. We fixed a lot of issues already. We've still got some we've got to fix right now, but we're recruiting at a high level. Our culture is really good. We're coming off, like I said, a semester where we had the best team GPA in school history for football. And we're playing good in several areas. We're not playing so good in several areas, but we do believe in where we're headed. We've got a great vision for where we want to go with this program and a very detailed plan to get there that's worked in the past. And we certainly feel like it's going to work here.
I heard people say that recruiting is the bloodline of any program. I would think that's always number one. You got to get good players in, better players, and a lot more of them.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. You know, we're playing a team this week that's number one in the country. And every year they have the number one ranked recruiting class in the country. So I think, you know, they're a prime example, you know, for how much recruiting matters. You know, when Coach Saban got there, I believe he went 6-6 in his first year and lost to Louisiana Monroe. And since then, he's recruited a whole lot of really good players, and they've won a whole lot of games. And so we're headed in the right direction. And, you know, I hope we can get there really, really quickly. But we're not going to take any shortcuts to get there. We're not trying to build a team. We're trying to build a program. We're trying to build a program that sustains and lasts. And we're doing it with a model that's worked here before. And we feel like that we're definitely headed there.
Here's a question from Hilda here in the restaurant with us tonight. She says that as she watched the game against Troy the other night, she thought our special teams played exceptionally good against Troy. Want you to talk a little bit about maybe the game special teams-wise the other night, but also how important you think it is for a team to be good in the special teams.
Yeah, I agree, Hilda. I thought we played phenomenal in the kicking game. That's been an area that we've played really strong all year. You know, we made one big field goal. We missed another one really close right before the half. It would have been big. We had several big returns. Natron Brooks, Cam Harrell on kickoff, and Daquan Bailey-Brown all had some nice returns. Our coverage units have been phenomenal all year. And Mason Hunt, you know, our punter from right down the road in Wiggins, Mississippi, has done an outstanding job, you know, on our punt unit. So we've been really strong in all areas of the kicking game, which has been good to see. And, you know, we put a lot of emphasis on it. We play our best players in the kicking game. It really matters to us. We put a lot of practice time in it. And that's one area we've been able to shore up right off the bat.
I know one of the things you do, and I don't know your rule exactly, but if you're going to be a starter, you've got to either be a starter on one of the special teams or a backup guy, right? You got to participate in the special teams.
Yes, we have a rule that if you're going to start on offense or defense, you have to be in the two deep on two special teams units or more. And so our players have embraced that. I mean, you see Frank Gore on kickoff cover. I just named Cam Harrell, Natron Brooks. You know, they're starters on defense, and they start in the kicking game. So, you know, it's not just lip service here. It's something that is demanded and required. And Greg Myers, our special team coordinator, he does a phenomenal job schematically each week, but also technique-wise. You know, our special team's core values are technique, toughness, and great effort, and TTG right there. And I think we're really getting better with our technique. We've played with great toughness and great effort all 3 weeks. And it's got a chance to be something that gives us an edge down the stretch.
I would think good players want to play football, and they want to be on those special teams, don't they?
Yeah, you know, it just depends on your culture. You know, there's a lot of places where it's kind of frowned upon. They just want to be on offense or defense. We try to sell, you know, that more yardage is exchanged in the kicking game than ever before. But then we also give them, you know, the NFL numbers. You know, each NFL team keeps three running backs, for example. That third running back is not going to be the best running back that an NFL team can keep. They're going to keep the two best running backs they can keep. The third running back is going to be the best special teams player, because if a starting running back gets hurt and he's out for the year, they're just going to go sign another great running back anyway. So that third running back spot, that eighth wideout spot, that sixth DB spot, that is always going to be a guy that is a great special teams player. So if you want to play at the next level, you got to play in kicking game units. And then, you know, obviously the most yardage is exchanged on those units. So if you want to win, we got to be great in that area.
I'll tell you, guys, a good example of that, a former Golden Eagle, Jalen Richard, was a pretty good running back for the Golden Eagles, but he has been able to stick with the Las Vegas Raiders because of his special teams ability.
No doubt. Malcolm Butler from over in Vicksburg that played for me at West Alabama, he made a name for himself and got to stay with the Patriots because of the kicking game. And then he finally worked his way into play in year three, I think, as a corner. And, you know, won the Super Bowl, and his career exploded from there.
Here's a question from, I can't read the name here, but can you read that? It's got an L and a Y.
A great Southern Miss fan.
Yeah. How has practice for Bama gone so far this week?
You know, John, I think you can attest to this. Our kids, you know, one thing that I'm really proud of, and I am not proud of how we're playing on the field at times, obviously, but I am proud of the culture we're building. We talked about how we did academically in one semester. Our kids are impacting people in a positive way. They're coming to work. They understand that we're not where we want to be as a program. They also understand that we are building a program, and we're building it the right way. We've had a phenomenal week of practice, maybe our best week of practice we've had all year. They know that conference play is coming up here soon and that we've got to improve. And that, boy, I can't tell you, though, but, man, we how proud I am of how we've attacked this week of practice and how we're looking forward, you know, to this opportunity this week, but also looking forward to conference play starting here very soon.
I know I've told you this, but when you watch practice, what always amazes me, or maybe not amazes me, but impresses me, is how even the guy that I'm a starter – the guy behind me is really kind of urging me on, making me want to play better. If I'm the starter, I'm helping the backup guy. It's a lot of guys that really care about it, trying to make the whole team better, not just the individual better.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. It means a lot to me. That's two of our core values. One is always compete, and understanding that competition is something that pushes you to be a better version of yourself. And without competition, you get lazy. You get stagnant, and eventually somebody passes you up. And then another one's the golden rule, right? Treat others the way you want to be treated. And I think our kids have really embraced that. And like I said, our culture is really, really good right now. We got to get better on the field to match it.
All right, we're going to take our first break of the night here from Walk-Ons in Hattiesburg. You're listening to the Golden Eagle Hotline. Head coach Will Hall, the Eagles getting ready to take on number one Alabama Saturday night over in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Keep the questions coming. More to come back in a moment. This is the Golden Eagle Hotline from Learfield.
There is something for everyone at Canebrake Country Club in Hattiesburg. Canebrake offers an 18-hole private golf course, a 24-hour fitness facility, a junior Olympic-sized swimming pool, and year-round social and dining events sure to please every member of the family, including the new Canebrake restaurant and bar overlooking the 18th green. For more information on membership or hosting your next big event, visit canebrakecountryclub.com or call 601-271-2010.
Welcome back to Golden Eagle Hotline. Here again is John Cox.
And we are back here at Walk-Ons in Hattiesburg. Glad to have you with us, everybody, as we do what we love to do on a Thursday night, at sit around and talk a little Golden Eagle football with the head coach of the Golden Eagles, Coach Will Hall. Golden Eagles against number one Alabama on Saturday night over at Bryant-Denny Stadium in Tuscaloosa. All right, here's a good question. This is Tommy. I think Tommy's with us here in the restaurant tonight. Coach, he says, is our base offense a spread? And then is that more to do with what lineman splits and things like that, or receivers spread out? So how would you kind of define that?
Yeah, Tommy, when the word spread was invented, it came along probably around the mid to late 90s. And it came on because back then most people were two-back teams with a fullback and in some version of the I or offset I and had a tight end attached to the line of scrimmage. And then all of a sudden teams started playing with one back and then with three receivers. And then after that, they started playing with four receivers. So the formation was truly spread out of the box. So it has to do with that. That's where that's kind of the derivation of the word spread and where it comes from. It stems in the mid to late 90s with spreading out the formation. We're a multiple offense. It does a lot of different things. And we're building on that right now.
All right. When you, your dad's with us here again tonight, Coach Bobby Hall. He's here at the restaurant with us tonight. When you first started playing for your dad, what kind of offense did you run?
Yeah, so Dad was a veer option guy, and out of multiple formations, we were very similar to the Nebraska teams of the 90s under Tom Osborne. We ran multiple forms of option out of multiple formations and looks. Dad was an offensive innovator. We actually led the state in scoring my senior year. While running the option. And then in 1988, yes, Dad had a quarterback that actually set a state record for touchdown passes in a season at that time.
And you got two, you've got the young and old up there. You got Coach Cochran up there, your tight end coach, talking with your dad there. They're talking all kinds of football. They may be drawing up some plays up there right now.
Yeah, two old cowboys, man. Coach Cochran's from Cashin, Oklahoma, and my dad's from Guntown, Mississippi, which shows no matter how many red lights are in your town growing up, you can still be successful.
Right, here's a question from Dennis. Dennis says, after reviewing the Troy film, did the middle of a line collapse on that PAT, and can the center, parentheses, deep snapper, get hit?
Yeah, so after reviewing that, they were kind of lined up over our center. We did think that should have been a penalty. We could do a little better job at left guard right there helping out. You know, you can't always count on getting a call right there. You got to find a way to get it done. But it was definitely an issue where they were a little bit over our center and came up over our snapper right there.
All right, good question. Here's one from Tyler. What are we doing to prevent
what are we doing to prevent stalling out past the 50-yard line? Okay. Seems to have been an issue. Well, we're doing everything we can to get better offensively every day. And obviously, you know, on the field, that's the part of our program that has been holding us back the most. It's not been everything within our program that we're trying to get fixed, but we're doing everything we can do to get better every day and get better offensively. You know, like I said, I run the offense and call the offense. I've had been doing that for 18 years. We've been extremely successful offensively, and we've got several issues right there that we're shoring up, and we've got to get those fixed, obviously, if we're going to win some games.
All right, here's a question from Layton. Layton is sitting up there with that snazzy hat on.
Prentice County boy.
That's right. He said he saw Chandler Pittman come in for a play for Ty Keyes, went out during the ball game early, and wants to know what Chandler's status is for the future and what your thoughts about that young player out of McGee, Mississippi.
Yeah, so Chandler was the 3A player of the year out of McGee, Mississippi, played for a great head coach in Teddy Dice. And Chandler is going to be in a role called super back. We think Chandler can be very similar to a former Southern Miss great named Tracy Lampley, if you guys remember him. Tracy was a guy that played in the slot and at running back. We think Chandler has a similar skill set. Chandler got here at 151 pounds, and he's now 166 pounds. Coach Ankar's done a great job beefing him up. He comes from a great family. You're going to see Chandler in the slot. You're going to see him in the backfield. And you're going to see him a little bit as a Wildcat quarterback. He's going to have a bright, bright future here if he stays healthy. His role is only going to expand. You will see him, like a lot of these young freshmen we have, playing a whole lot more as the season goes on.
All right, here's one from Dennis here in the restaurant. He said, you said that you spent some time with the Alabama staff at one time and patterned maybe some of your practices and the way you run your program after that. Any details about that or how you sort of what you might have got from the Alabama people?
Yeah, so, you know, when I got to West Alabama in 08, that's when Coach Saban had got to Alabama. So we were 45 minutes down the road. I would go up there as much as I possibly could. Had a lot of dear friends on that staff, from the Jody Reichs to the Joe Panunzios, and during that whole day. So they would always let me come in and visit during spring ball and bowl season. The way we practice is almost identical to Alabama. The way we structure things geared towards defensive-oriented, building defensive football, building the ability to teach defensively, and then developing quarterbacks. It's a system that's won forever. And so, you know, we basically our practice structure and everything stems straight from how they do things.
All right, let's get another one in before we have to take another break here. Here's one from Ron. James, and this is a question via the internet. Do coaches feel the same level of competition as players do when facing other great coaches?
I don't know. I've never thought about it like that. I mean, obviously, you know, people have told me, you know, to make sure I soak this weekend. I'm not really wired that way to soak something in. I'm about winning. I hate losing. And so, you know, we got a tremendous opponent this week that is, you know, in the middle of arguably the greatest dynasty in the history of college football. And so it's a tremendous challenge for us right now in year one of building a program. And, look, we're focused on us. We got a lot of things we got to do to get better, to build this great program back to prominence and where it should be. And we got a great week of practice, and we're going to focus on having a great Friday tomorrow.
All right. Speaking of that, here's one via the internet. You talk a little bit about the development, or what development do you want to see from Ty Keyes when he makes his second start on Saturday?
Well, with Ty, you know, the big thing is we got to play better around him. We didn't think we helped Ty out much around him. He's got to continue to go through his progressions and learn. He's got to take care of the football. He had one turnover. That was a really bad turnover on a crossing route where he threw it too hard. But, look, man, Ty in his first start played like a tough guy. And all great teams that have won championships, the quarterback was the toughest player, one of the toughest players on their team, right? That's what Lee Roberts was. And Ty's a tough guy. He's a winner. He's a competitor. And we can build it around Ty, and we're only going to get better from here.
All right, going to take another break. We're doing what we love to do on a Thursday night, talk Golden Eagle football with the head coach of the Golden Eagles, Coach Will Hall. Keep the questions coming. We'll be back in just a moment here from Walk-Ons in Hattiesburg. This is the Golden Eagle Hotline from Learfield.
Hey, fans, this is Wayne Cook, co-host of College Sports Now. We're breaking down all the action from around the country every week with new episodes dropping 4 days a week during the football season. We'll look beyond the box score and keep our finger on the pulse of college football from September all the way to the national championship game in January. Listen all season long on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you'd love to get your podcasts. And be sure to follow along on Twitter at CSNowTweets.
Is Golden Eagle Hotline live at Walk-Ons. Let's rejoin John Cox.
I'm talking Golden Eagle of football on a Thursday night here at Walk-Ons with the head coach of the Golden Eagles, Coach Will Hall. Golden Eagles will make the trip over to Tuscaloosa, Alabama to take on the number one Alabama Crimson Tide on Saturday night. That's a 6:30 kickoff, give or take a few minutes there. And, of course, you can watch that ball game. It's on the SEC Network TV-wise, or follow all the action right here on the Southern Miss Learfield Network. So hope to have you with us one way or the other as the Golden Eagles take on the Alabama Crimson Tide on Saturday. All right, Coach Hall, here's a question from Vance. Said you had talked about tight ends. How much talent is there? And do you anticipate signing perhaps even more tight ends over the next couple of years?
Well, yeah, so we do have a lot of talent there. Grayson Gunner has been playing at an extremely high level. Cole Cavallo is playing pretty good. We'd like to get a little more out of Cole. And then we got a young guy in Luke Baker that has got a bright, bright future. He's just a freshman, another one of those freshmen that are playing. And then we got Ray Ladner, who also brings some toughness to the position. We would like to be completing some more passes to those guys, but we'd like to be completing more passes to everybody. You know, we're just not playing very well offensively. So, you know, when that happens, people don't get as many touches, you know, as you was like. But Grayson's a really good football player, and we got some more guys coming up. We will take a tight end this year in this recruiting class. We're going to wait and take a wait-and-see approach. Grayson's the only one leaving. Cole will be back. Luke, like I said, is a freshman, and we've got really high hopes for him. Think he can be a great player, and Ray will also be back.
All right, here's a question from Grover. Grover's one eating the red beans and rice right in
there. You go.
Right in front of
He's
us.
He's our old bus driver, right?
That's right.
That's right.
That's
got lost in New Orleans.
Back in the old express days, he used to be behind the wheel. Spent many a night going down the interstate Grover at the controls. Grover wants to know about recruiting. He says, how has recruiting gone over the two home game weekends that the Golden Eagles have had?
Recruiting's going great, man. Right now, I mean, we're recruiting at a high level, especially at the group of five level. I think we've used 21 spots up in this, no, 22 spots in this recruiting class, and we continue to roll. It's going really good, and that's what it takes, right, is recruiting. We signed a great class last year. and we're bringing in another great group this year. So it's looking good.
Here's one that Bo just handed me. This is from Ken from here in Hattiesburg. I think Ken's here in the restaurant with us. Says, what area of the football team has improved the most through the first three games?
Yeah, you know, I would think when I got here, everybody wanted to know if we were going to be able to bring the Nasty Bunch back and how long that would take. I feel like we're playing at a high level on defense. You know, and we made a conscious effort from the moment we got here to do everything we could possibly do to get that Nasty Bunch mentality back, from the way we practice to the way we train to the way we coach. And Coach Armstrong's done a phenomenal job, and our program's done a phenomenal job as a whole of getting that mentality back, bringing that brand back. There's Coach Kreiner right there, our Jack outside linebacker coach. And he brings a lot of juice.
Looks like he can still play.
Yep. So he's a member of the Nasty Bunch. And so that's the thing I'm most proud of probably, is that we've been able to – you know, because we tell our kids, that Nasty Bunch title is something that's earned. That's not given. That was earned in this place through playing a lot of great defense over an extended period of time. And it's not something to be taken lightly. But I think through three games you can see we're on our way to getting that bad boy back.
All right, good question there. Let's find another one here. This is from Roger. Where is that? Roger's right over here, Roger Cameron. Roger is a former offensive lineman, so he always wants to know about that and wants to know, are we recruiting more offensive linemen?
Yeah, so we've got, you know, we've got six that have come in this class. You know, we've got, I can't talk about them, but we've got three high school kids committed, and then we've got three transfers already, so we've had six O-linemen in this class. Three of them have already enrolled. And you know, I mean, we're recruiting O-linemen at a high level. And, you know, we lose our right tackle, we lose our center, and we lose one more. And everybody else is back on that offensive line unit. And, you know, three of the high school kids we've got committed right now are high, high-level players within the state. And we've got great hopes for building this thing. You know, better on the offensive line.
Different coaches like different things. When Will Hall looks at an offensive lineman, what do you want to see in a high school or a JUCO offensive lineman that translates to playing at Southern Miss?
The two things we look for, number one, because we feel like these are non-negotiable, is will they hit you with their face? If a young man won't hit you with his face on tape, you're not going to get him to hit with his face once he gets here. You know, there's some kids that will hit with their face and some that won't. Kids that keep their face out of the contact, they're not going to ever change. That's number one. Then number two, once we identify their hitters, we like to get them to campus and we do a bend test. We like to see how well they can bend and flex. And at that point, you know, if they can bend and they'll hit with their face, you start getting into how much do they love football, how big are they, what's their overall size, and those things. Because offensive line is a position where you really need to love football. You know, my dad used to always say heaven's going to be full of offensive linemen, right, because they're guys that work hard and do what they're supposed to do every day with no regards to who gets the credit. And so that's what we look for. That's where we start with O-line, and that's how we go from there.
Yeah, it's funny. If somebody comes and watches a practice, they don't go watch the offensive line. They don't watch guys catch it and throw it and run with it. They don't like to watch those big guys in the offensive line.
That's right. That is exactly right.
All right. Hey, we're having a great time here tonight at Walk-Ons in Hattiesburg talking Golden Eagle football with Coach Will Hall. Golden Eagles at Alabama on this Saturday night over in Bryant-Denny Stadium. More to come. Keep the questions coming. Having a good time tonight here at Walk-Ons. We're back with more. The Golden Eagle Hotline from Learfield.
Hey, everybody, this is Mike Golick, and I'm back to host the second season of the Fan Exam live trivia game every Monday and Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Test your college sports knowledge against fans from around the country for the chance to win cash and prizes, including an unforgettable New Year's Day experience at the Rose Bowl Stadium in Pasadena. It's free to play in the brand new Fan Exam app or at thefanexam.com. Get ready to ace the test. Join us for the Fan Exam Season 2 every Monday and Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Highlighting Southern Miss Athletics, this is Golden Eagle Hotline. Now, back to John Cox.
And then we're back here at Walk-Ons. John Cox alongside of the head coach, Coach Will Hall. Golden Eagles getting ready to load up tomorrow. Head over to Tuscaloosa, Alabama to take on the Alabama Crimson Tide. on a Saturday night at Bryant-Denny Stadium. A lot of good questions coming in tonight. If you got one here in the restaurant, wave at Bo. Bo will bring one of our question forms. You can fill it out that way. Or if you're listening in, you can send it in via email or Twitter. We've got Francis over there kind of manning the computer to hand us any question you might send in that way. All right, here's a good question. Robert Goss, I think Robert's not here tonight, but he's sent a question in. Wants you to talk about the opportunity to spark desire in players to want to make consistent, measurable change.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Robert, that's something we try to do every day, and we feel like we've done that in a lot of areas since we got here. Like I said, from last semester, our GPA being the highest that we've ever had here in football, too. If you look at what we were defensively last year compared to what we're doing right now, I would say that's consistent, measurable change. You know, and we're playing at a high level in the kicking game. We haven't gotten it done offensively right now, but I think our players are busting it every day. All I know to do is every day is to get up and go to work with a vision, but also a detailed plan to get to that vision and to not divvy from it just because there's tough times. You know, we don't want to panic in our program. Panic shows bad leadership. It shows bad faith and lack of faith and bad belief. We believe in where we're headed. We've got great faith in the plan to get there. And we're waking up every day and going to work.
Here's a question from Randy. I know you like to talk sometimes about injuries, but he says, did we come out of the Troy game injury-wise? How did we come out of the Troy game injury-wise, other than maybe some of the obvious ones, Lowe, Mayberry, some of those guys?
Yeah, so we came out pretty healthy. We actually were without several guys in that game. We played without Ray Mitchell, who's playing at a great high level at corner. He'll be back this week. Natron Brooks got bumped, got batted, you know, battered and bruised and missed the second half. He's got a chance to play this week. And Arvin Fletcher at center is another guy that was, you know, battered and bruised, and he'll be a game-time decision on whether he plays.
You mentioned Ray Mitchell. Ray's had a great career at Southern Miss, one of the best corners around, and throw in Eric Scott at cornerback there. Natron Brooks has played there, and we got to see a really young guy play the other night in Brendan Toles, who played really well and really his first extended playing time for the Golden Eagles.
Yeah, Brendan's another one of those freshmen that are playing at a really high level. I think Bo just said a while ago, out of 36 players on our two deep that are coming on our depth chart that are coming back. So we got 36 players coming back on our depth chart. 23 of them are freshmen and sophomores. So, you know, we say all the time we're one of the youngest teams in the country. That's, to take a quote from Robert, that's a numeric measurable number right there that you can see to show we're building it with a lot of young, talented guys that are going to be back here for a long time, and we got a chance to be really good. We got to get better faster, right? I recognize that and know that, and that's what we're pushing towards.
All right, here's a question, a good question here from Randy, who says, do the GAs, the graduate assistant coaches, have specific sides of the ball that they coach? And he must be a friend of Carter Hankins, wants to know, do you get anything out of Carter Hankins?
Yeah, so we've got four GAs, two on offense, Nate Mullen, who works with Coach Lindsay and the receivers, Carter Hankins, who works with the quarterbacks with me. Carter is the son of Brad Hankins, head coach at Purvis, who does a great job. And Carter has got a chance to be a really good coach one day. On defense, we got Cannon Gibbs out of Northwest Rankin that works with the linebackers and has got a chance to be a really good coach. And then Cannon also played at Jones Junior College. And then on defense, we got – and then our other special teams graduate assistant is Terrion Dora, who played at Knoxby County for the great Tyrone Shorter, who's now at Louisville. And Dora's also got a chance to have a bright career. So that's our four GAs and their specific responsibilities.
Every year there's a lot of guys that want to join your staff or anybody to be a graduate assistant with the goal of being a coach, a full-time coach one day. What do you look for in a guy that you might hire or bring in as a graduate assistant?
So first off, they think they want to join. Then when they get involved and they see how much work it is, they don't really know if they want to anymore. You've got to be a guy that's really, really committed to be a college coach because the hours are long and the pay is little for a long time. And, you know, those four guys we just named, they sleep a lot of nights at the office. They have no life right now. They're still there right now, breaking down tape, cutting up next. They've already moved on to Rice at this point, breaking down that tape. They have about one night a week where they can have some semblance of a normal life. And that's just the way it goes if you want to be a college coach. So for all you people out there that think you want to coach, make sure you really know what you're getting into.
Here's a question from Susan, and she wants you to talk about game atmosphere at The Rock in the two games that you have seen at The Rock as a head coach. What have you thought about the kind of atmosphere our fans have helped create there?
It's been unbelievable. You know, I can't say enough about this place. It is as advertised from a tradition and history standpoint. The Eagle Walk, it's a shame we didn't get to do it last week because of lightning. The Eagle Walk is second to none on the Group of Five level. Our atmosphere has been great. We look forward to continuing to build that atmosphere, right? I am so thankful and proud of all you fans that have decided to jump on board and help us build this thing together. I understand we're not a finished product right now. I understand we're not playing at the level that we need to play at Southern Miss. But we're building this thing, and we need all you guys to help us build it together. And these two atmospheres we've had at the first two home games have been great. We got to continue to do that, okay? And the wins are going to come.
All right, we're talking Golden Eagle football like we do on every Thursday night here at Walk-Ons in Hattiesburg with head coach Will Hall. A lot to go here on the show, so keep the questions coming. Back in a moment. This is the Golden Eagle Hotline from Learfield.
Hey, college football fans, I'm Mike Golick.
And I'm Kate Scott. This fall, we are bringing you a fresh new way to hear college football play-by-play. Golick and I teaming up for college football Saturday night, powered by Learfield.
It's a bold new way to listen to college football. Smart, fun, refreshing, food, I added that. A unique radio play-by-play experience, and I'm so looking forward to broadcasting live alongside Kate this fall.
College football Saturday night, powered by Learfield. Hope you'll join us.
Welcome back to Golden Eagle Hotline. Here again is John Cox.
Hi, welcome back, everybody, to Walk-Ons here in Hattiesburg. What a great place for the Golden Eagle Hotline. If you haven't been in here, come in and visit our good friends here at Walk-Ons. Great atmosphere, a lot of great food. So come by, see our good friends here at Walk-Ons in Hattiesburg. Coach, I know you've had something on your mind that you wanted to talk about. So if you would, share with us a little bit what's been on your mind.
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to give our condolences to the family of Steve Bynum, the head coach at Mize. You know, just a long – he passed away today due to COVID complications. And Coach Bynum was just a longtime high school coach in the state of Mississippi, was the head coach at Quitman when they had Tavarius Moore, Southern Miss great Tavarius Moore. Just a unbelievable human being that impacted lives in a positive way. And like I said, was the head coach at Mize right down the road in Smith County. And so we want those guys to know that our hearts are out to them, and we love all the surrounding schools in this area. And, man, I just thank the world of Coach Bynum. He used to bring his boys up to my camp at West Alabama when he was at Quitman. Just a fine human being that we lost today, and we hate it for Mize and all the people affiliated with them. And, you know, so I wanted to let everybody know that.
All right. Here's a this is a question from Jimmy, and Jimmy wants you to talk, if you would, about the Alabama Crimson Tide. I wouldn't think not a whole lot of weaknesses with Nick Saban's ball club. So obviously a tough opponent on Saturday night.
Yeah, so they're a really, really good football team that's really well coached. You know, they've recruited really well for an extended period of time. They're number one in the country, and they deserve that ranking. Just got great respect for how they play. They play well in all three phases. They play their best players in the kicking game. They're extremely talented. Their backups are extremely talented. They compete and play hard. They're battle-tested, having gone on the road at Florida and won. You know, I've just got the utmost respect for Coach Saban and the way he runs his program, the way they recruit. And there's no weaknesses in relation to playing us. And, you know, it's going to be a tremendous challenge for us, but it's also a tremendous opportunity, right? It's an opportunity to go lay it on the line. It's an opportunity to represent your family's last name. It's an opportunity to show everybody what we're building as a program. It's an opportunity to show how we compete. And we want to have a warrior mentality and play our butt off and give it everything we've got together. And we want to get to the fourth quarter and see where it stands at that point.
You and I were talking earlier today. What's impressed me this week is the way your guys have come back out on the field after the tough loss last week against Troy and really had, I think, a great week of practice. They've done a lot of things to make themselves be better in each phase of the game.
That's right. Our kids, our culture is unbelievable. It's phenomenal. I mean, it really is. I mean, I've never been anywhere where it's good, is this good. And our kids understand that if we were 3-0 right now or 0-3, it doesn't have any bearing on whether we win a ring or not this year. And that's what we kind of been focused on is, look, we're not where we wanted to be right now. But we have an opportunity to get better every day and to attack that day with great energy and passion. And if we continue to improve, conference play is going to start in 2 weeks, and we're going to hit the reset button. And we're going to have a chance to attack the conference season and still do what we set out to do, which was to play 12 games that matter this year and to compete to win the Western Division of this conference.
Here's one that kind of along the same line. Where do you hope to see your players grow as they head into Conference USA play in a couple of weeks?
Well, I hope to play better offensively. You know, that's where, you know, we fixed a lot of things in this program. Like I said, we feel like we're on the way to bringing the Nasty Bunch back. We're playing great in the kicking game. Our culture is really good. We're doing better academically than they've ever done in football here. The part of the program that we've not gotten caught up to speed is offense. We're really young there. We're young at some critical positions. That's not an excuse. But we are improving daily, and I think we're going to have a really good offense before this year's over with. I believe that. Our kids have practiced well. We would like to see some strides moving in that direction this week with conference play looming.
All right, we're going to take another break here from a walk-on to Hattiesburg, the Golden Eagles at Alabama on Saturday night. More to come. Keep some questions coming here in the restaurant or wherever you might be listening in. Back in a moment, the Golden Eagle Hotline from Learfield.
The biggest schools.
Grabs in traffic, comes down with a touchdown.
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 Touchdown,
Alabama.
Ohio State.
Oregon. LSU.
The biggest moments.
Incomplete.
The College Football Rewind.
That had to be a great game to watch. I'll tell you, unbelievable.
Download on Sunday mornings on Apple Podcasts. Search College Sports now.
This is Golden Eagle Hotline, live at Walk-Ons. Let's rejoin John Cox.
And we are back here at Walk-Ons. Great crowd here at the Walk-Ons tonight. Hopefully you'll be back with us next Thursday night. We're here every Thursday night throughout the football season and talking, obviously, Golden Eagle football with Coach Will Hall. Will, tomorrow is a travel day for the Golden Eagles. For folks who aren't familiar, what do you do on a Friday game week of a road game like we've got this weekend?
Yeah, so we practice in the mornings. We do that so we get them up early and get football out of the way where they can spend the rest of their day on academics, because we believe in that. We think that's one of the reasons why we've been able to change the academic culture so quickly here. So we'll get up, we'll practice in the morning. When we get done with that, they'll go to classes until our travel squad is departing at 1:30 tomorrow. We'll get to the hotel, over in Alabama, and then we'll eat dinner, and then we'll have offense and defense meetings, and then we'll have chapel that night, and we'll let the young men go to bed, and then Saturday mornings on night games like we're playing again, we'll get up, have breakfast, then we have special teams walkthrough. Then we have an offense and defense walkthrough, and then we let them have some rest and relaxation time. They can spend time in the training room and with Ancar getting some feel-good stuff going. Then we come back 3.5 hours before kickoff and have a pregame meal, and then we head to the stadium and get it on.
Hey, I'm glad you mentioned Lance Ancar, who's your strength conditioning coach. He was your center, I guess, in your college days. He has brought not only expertise in the strength conditioning, but is a great motivator. I mean, he's a great motivator of your football team and a guy that cares about everything.
He's one reason why this culture is going so well. You know, Ancar and I are in complete alignment all the way through with how we treat kids, how we develop them and mold them to be men. Because that's the other part, right? We came here and we said our vision is to be the best group of five football program in America and to develop real men. And I think we're succeeding at one of those right now, and I think we're building towards the other one. And where we're succeeding is developing these real men. I'm really excited about where we're pushing them. Ancar does a great job. I think Austin Armstrong would tell you that he's had a huge hand in our development on defense as well. Like I said, this program is built to play good defense. And Ancar has a huge hand in that with how we train every day in the weight room and off-season conditioning program.
You mentioned him a couple of times tonight, Austin Armstrong, your defensive coordinator. I don't think people – 28 years old, but yeah. Is already kind of recognized around the college football world as one of the stars in the future of college football, really knows the game.
Yeah, I know. It's funny, John. You know, that was the biggest criticism I took when I got this job was, why'd you hire this young guy to be our defensive coordinator, and where'd he come from, and why do you think he deserved this job? And I just told everybody then, if you'll just relax and trust me, you'll see. And, you know, I kind of say the same thing that right now that I said then, if you'll keep trusting and keep believing in where this program's headed, you're going to be really proud of it. And Austin's doing a great job. Our kids are doing a great job believing and buying in defensively. And our assistant coaches on defense are doing a great job as well. Austin would tell you that. We got a great group right there with Brandon Lacey and Mark Kreiner and Dan O'Brien and Chad Williams, the great Chad Williams, right? And we're playing well right now early. The season is young. We got to continue to do it, and I believe we will.
You know, it's funny. I meant to mention this earlier. Brandon Lacey, your defensive line coach, he and I were talking the other day after the first home game about the Eagle Walk. And he got excited. He said, I've been in college football for a while. I've never seen anything like that Eagle Walk. So it's amazing how it affects guys who have been around a game even for a long, long time like Brandon has.
Oh, yeah, man. If you've coached at the Group of Five level or lower, there's nothing that can compete with us on a home Saturday in Hattiesburg. From the Eagle Walk to the rock itself to the tailgating, we have an atmosphere and a history and tradition where we can be that best Group of Five football program again in America. That's why we're recruiting so well, right? We have a great recruiting plan. We have great history and tradition and fan base. And we have a coaching staff that's won everywhere it's been, that's selling those things and treats people the right way. So we're pushing to get back to that, and we're a little closer today than we were yesterday, and we're going to be a little closer tomorrow than we were today.
I'm going to take our final break of the night, come back and spend a final few moments with our head coach, Will Hall. Eagles and Alabama on Saturday. Back in a moment, the Golden Eagle Hotline from Learfield.
There is something for everyone at Cane Brake Country Club in Hattiesburg. Cane Brake offers an 18-hole private golf course, a 24-hour fitness facility, a junior Olympic-sized swimming pool, and year-round social and dining events sure to please every member of the family, including the new Cane Brake restaurant and bar overlooking the 18th green. For more information on membership or hosting your next big event, visit canebreakcountryclub.com or call 601-271-2010.
And we're back on the Golden Eagle Hotline with head coach Will Hall. Final few minutes with Will here tonight at Walk-Ons. Remind you, we're here every Thursday night throughout the football season with the Golden Eagle Hotline. So if you didn't make it out tonight, come out next Thursday. Grab your neighbor, your buddy, your boyfriends, your girlfriends. Bring everybody to Walk-Ons. Let's get a big crowd in here next week as we will sit around and talk Golden Eagle football as the Eagles get ready. Open up the Conference USA season next week when they travel out to historic Rice Stadium to take on the Rice Owls. Will, as we run out of time tonight, Alabama, the Golden Eagles, Eagles had some success over there, but this is a really, really good team Nick Saban's got, and they've done it over a number of years. That's hard to do at that level in college football, to be as consistent as they've been over the last few years.
Yeah, I got the utmost respect for them and what they've built there. They're the gold standard right now. You know, we're building this program back daily. And, you know, we're in year one of that rebuild, and we're going to go over there and lay it all on the line. I can assure you of that. And we're going to get after them and put everything we've got out there on the field to represent this great university and the history and tradition and all the former great players that played here in a way that they would really enjoy. And when we leave there Saturday night, we got to be a better football team heading into conference play.
You made me think of some as we run out of time, though. You mentioned former players. Do you hear a lot from former Golden Eagle players, some that I'm sure you've known maybe from coaching circles, but maybe some that aren't coaches that just wanted to talk to you?
Yeah, you know, that was one of the biggest things. When I got the job, the first thing I did was reach out to Coach Bauer, establish that relationship, and then start getting numbers from our athletic department and Coach Bauer, and reaching out to some of the greats. And you know, I mean, from Pat Surtain to Marshawn Kenny, you know, to, you know, Jeremy Bridges to Tracy Lampley to Derek Nix, Tyrone Nix, Adalius Thomas, Lee Roberts, Brett Favre, Reggie Collier. I mean, on and on and on, just shooting them a text and letting them know, hey, this is your program. We are going to build it back to where you are proud of it, and I want you to feel welcome here. And the response has been unbelievable. And I think we're building that back to where those people want to be a part of our program. They want to be here. They want to be proud of it. We got to play better on the field. I understand that. Nobody is more driven to that than me. Nobody is more unhappy with where we're at than I am. I can assure you that. Ask my wife. So we're going to get it back. It's going to happen day by day because we're not going to take a quick fix. We're not trying to build a team. We're trying to build a program. A program that lasts and sustains and goes on and on and on, and we will get there. All right, and we're a day closer today than we were yesterday.
Hey, Will, we enjoy it. Always a lot of fun to sit and talk Golden Eagle and college football with you here on a Thursday night in front of our great, great Golden Eagle fans. So thanks for visiting with us tonight. Best of luck on Saturday against the Alabama Crimson Tide, and let's go. Make it a special day over there in Tuscaloosa.
Let's do it, John, to the top.
All right, Coach Will Hall and the Golden Eagles at Alabama, 6:30 kickoff time in the Bryant-Denny Stadium. That'll do it. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Thanks for listening in. Wherever you've been tonight, until next time, John Cox is always reminding you of the three essentials of happiness, something to do, something to love, something to hope for. Hope to have you with us next week for another edition of the Golden Eagle Hotline. Good night, everybody, from Walk-Ons.
The Southern Miss Sports Network from Learfield. You've been listening to Golden Eagle Hotline, live from Walk-Ons. Tonight's show was brought to you by Walk-Ons Sports Bistro. Win everyone, everywhere, every way, every day. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Southern Miss Sports Network.